Lightning 100, that is me and Bobby McGee. Oh, man, I saw that live yesterday at Old Crow Medicine Show. They were part of the Grand Old Opry featuring Molly Tuttle on the guitar. That's pretty much the only music I saw yesterday, but I was trying to pace myself. It is going to be a long weekend full of great stuff. This is Annie, the Lightning River Queen, reporting live from Bonnaroo 2019. So glad to have you all hanging out with us, listening on the radio. Maybe you're down here on the farm with us. It is a gorgeous day in Manchester, Tennessee. I don't remember ever being here when it was 50 degrees at night, but it happened last night and it was great.
Last night was so cold.
So cold. I have Jared from Jared in the Mill here in the studio with me. Hi, Jared.
Well, hello there.
How are you?
I am, like I told you earlier, well rested.
Yes.
Which is very rare for a music festival.
What's your setup out there?
I just got a tent and it's a sleeping pad. It's nothing special.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an Eagle Scout. I've done plenty of camping in my life.
That's hot.
And like, I feel like it gets to a point where you're like, you start out and you get more and more excited about camping and you get better and better things. But
yeah,
eventually you're just kind of like, I don't need any of this. And you just kind of like, when I go on like 3-day backpacking trips and I have a JanSport. It's got my hammock. It's got a couple clothes.
Let's talk about the essentials in there though. So pocket knife, right?
I got a pocket knife.
Yeah.
Not on me right now.
Right.
Took it at the gate.
Right. Oh, did you don't get it back?
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
I might sweet talk.
Was it sentimental?
No, I lose those things like
all the time.
No one's business.
It wasn't like you didn't have your name etched in it from your grandfather or anything.
No, that would be very cool though. Come on, Grandpa.
Yeah, come on, Grandpa. Where you at?
Come on, Grandpa. Listen to this radio station in Nashville, even though you're in Phoenix.
All right. So pocket knife, backpack, tent. What else is in the essential Eagle Scout pack?
Water.
Water.
Maybe some food.
Right.
But you realize that the essentials are very, very few.
Super
so
minimal.
I feel like I'm pooing on people's parade because like my band members are so excited to like go camping and like they get all these gadgets and stuff,
yeah,
and I'm like,
y'all don't need
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'll have like a pad and a sleeping bag in my tent.
And I'm fine.
Yeah.
What's the, have you ever done anything like out in the wilderness where you're like, oh man, I'm in trouble. I need to use my Eagle Scout skills.
Yeah. We do solo hikes,
yeah,
in the Scouts, and it's like, 3, days usually. This is at least in Arizona. I don't know how they do it out here, but there's like 3 days, where you'll go out and you'll have very little, like some rope, a pocket knife, and you have to figure out how to just be comfortable for 3 days. Not only that, but, you have a compass and you have to basically do this really extended, compass course.
Oh.
And so you have to get to different points and check in stops.
Oh.
And, it's over the course of 3 days, you hike like however many miles, like 40, 50 miles.
Fascinating. They don't give you matches, a lighter, or anything like that.
No.
Just a rope and a knife.
Yeah.
Wow. It's pretty.
Well, and like I think you can take other stuff if you really like to, but like that's, I don't know. It's also kind of a self, it's like a self-discovery thing where you kind of want to push yourself. So
yeah,
that's what I did.
I love that. I'm in the outdoor industry, so.
Are you?
That's very fascinating to me.
Well, I didn't mean to diminish your products by
saying that these are not the essentials. I have a kayaking business.
Oh, well, you got to have that if you want to go kayaking.
Yeah.
So that's perfect.
Yeah.
I'd say one of the top most essential items if you want to go kayaking is a kayak.
You're right.
So
right.
You're good.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about music.
No.
Jared,
I'm just joking. This is a radio
You're playing at Bonnaroo.
That plays music.
So
yeah,
it's a big deal. So let's talk about that, right?
I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
I was
so
joking.
First Bonnaroo.
Yes.
And you and the guys, there's 5 of you total, all from Phoenix, Arizona, all best friends.
Yeah.
All road dogging it out there, playing music in the van.
Yes.
So did you come from the road here and then kind of keeping on after this, or what's the scene?
Well, so we basically are constantly on the road. I think you just said that, but that's true. So we've been on the road since February, and we've had like a day off here and there where we just happen to be at home and we have like a little bit, but then we're off again. And we are, I think, I'm staying out here in Nashville to do some songwriting with some of the guys.
Oh, that's fun.
And then we're going to fly to Japan, and then we're going to come back and then go back on tour. So
cool summer.
Yes, we're more it's like different like legs and events of stuff, but we're more or less on tour right now.
So are you writing for a new record?
I don't know.
Just writing for, because you're near Nashville?
Yeah, it's just the Nashville thing to do.
A lot of songwriters in old Nashville, Tennessee.
There are so many so many Nashville songwriters. I think that we just released a record, right?
Yep. It's called The Story.
This story is no longer available.
This story is no longer available.
That's right.
Right.
And so I don't know if we're writing for a record per se, but it's just kind of like, let's see if we can, we're in Nashville. Let's see if we can write a hit.
Might as well.
Style.
Yeah, get yourself on Music Row. Get yourself a country hit.
That's right.
Did the next Old Town Road or something?
Yeah, the hit, the bus, the ranch out in Franklin, the whole nine yards.
Do the whole thing.
Let's do it.
Where'd the title of the record come from?
We were in South Dakota, I believe, driving through, and Mike actually inspired this name, the banjo player and the electric guitar player. He was, you know, touring is really hard. It's a very difficult way to live, and the fact that self-inflicted doesn't make it any easier, but that's the way it is. But we were out there, and he was desperately missing home, like we all do from time to time, and he was trying to look at his girlfriend's story on Instagram.
So
he saw the ability to, you know, tap the little thumbnail and see whatever she was up to that day, and feel like he was kind of there in a way, right? Because we all... It's like
all
I said,
the
it's hard.
Movies
yeah, all the little
that,
things.
Yeah, that we watch each other. Yes.
And reception got very, very poor. And I don't know like exactly what happened. So he hit that, but then it just had the little wheel and said, "This story is no longer available."
Yeah.
And that was like a very heavy concept.
Yeah. You are now disconnected.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No more good things for you. But also, it also kind of sounds like a lot of people ask me if it's just about like blacking out, like.
Yeah.
So I think that there's such a wide emotion set and things that you can tie the name to that it's a very explorative and fun title.
Yeah.
There's a lot to do with it.
And I like that you went that direction because I was reading about y'all and it sounds like your record, you know, you've got this big message of like love and acceptance and like the record has some messages about life scars, trials and tribulations, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Getting through your 20s, I guess, which is a roller coaster for anybody.
I'm staring down the barrel of 30.
Oh, man. Tell you what.
I'm just about there.
I love a new decade, though. I feel like you get a clean slate. You know?
Yeah, bring it.
Yeah. Like 30 now, it's like your 20s are done.
Yeah.
And you get a whole new chapter on life.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I am. I'm 20s were a good time. But I think, I don't know, age is silly to me.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. There's like the, I'm sure, being 30 will be cool, but I think that, the mile markers that you set for yourself are more internal than external. You know, I've met 18 year olds who are the most mature people in the world.
And I've met 50-year-olds who maybe need to learn some manners.
Who are still babies. Toddlers.
Yeah, toddlers.
Drooling on themselves.
Baby people.
Pooping.
And I know you guys, like, a big thing. I don't know that I've ever seen a 50-year-old poop on themselves, but, you know, there's still time.
I assume they poop, though.
Yeah, everybody poops.
That's just the long and short of it. That's just a fact of nature.
Especially at Bonnaroo. So,
Yeah.
So what I wanted to talk about too is, you know, you guys have a real connection with your fans, and it seems like that's really important to you guys. Can you talk about how you connect with people, like being kind of scattered all over the place, and sort of what that feels like when, I mean, artists that I talk to, the best feeling in the world is like when you're in a new city and people sing their songs, sing your songs
Nothing
back
like
to
it.
And you're just like, oh my God, how did this, you know?
Yeah.
So can you talk about like how you sort of cultivate that connection with your fans and like what that means to y'all?
Well, so we started early and we knew that like gaining fans was going to be the like our paramount mission as a band, like any, you know, band that has their head on their shoulders and wants to make it, you know.
Sure.
And like, of course, creating our art and feeling good about that is like, that's what you are. So after that, it's kind of like, so what do we want to do with it?
Yeah.
We're unsigned. We're completely independent.
Do you hear that, labels?
No, I didn't mean it like that. but So when we started touring, we were very much on our own. We didn't have a whole lot, we didn't have a team in our corner, if you will. And so when our first couple of tours, we would get to a town a couple of days before our show, and we would busk on street corners for hours a day, and pass out flyers for our show. And the idea there was kind of like to just, if someone was going to be interested in our song or in our music, like that is an opportunity for us to at least meet them.
Yeah.
And you know, introduce ourselves to them from a music standpoint and from a personal standpoint.
Right, a human connection.
Exactly.
Standpoint. Yeah.
So we would do that, to the nth degree several times a day. And we slowly amassed fans in all the towns that we traveled to. And it kind of got to the point where, like, we were so grateful that people even gave us the time of day that we, you know, that was so valuable that, like, we don't do the thing where we don't spend time with our fans.
And after, it sounds like you don't take it for granted, right?
We do not take it for granted.
And because there's so many bands out there. There's so many things you can listen to. So, I mean, I think that's really...
Yeah,
smart
exactly.
Approach,
and
right?
we're so lucky and fortunate to be able to do what we do, that like, and it's, I feel like it's this played out thing that people say all the time, but like the fans are just everything, and like providing for them the emotional investment that they've put into our music for their whole time listening to us, to provide them with the same emotional investment for just a night, it's not that taxing. And we do it over and over again, granted, but like, you know, you're there and these people, this, your music means something to these people, and that should mean something to you. Otherwise, what are you doing?
Well, that's it, right? There's the energy of exchange of like, this means something to them, and so you have the gratitude and be like, I want to put on a great show for you.
Exactly.
To be like, hey, thanks for listening to me instead of someone else, right?
It's insane.
Or like, in addition to someone else, but you know what I mean.
It blows my mind because there's so much good music out there, and it's so crazy to me that, like, you know, when we go to Chicago, the first, like, literally the first four times we played in Chicago, there was at most eight people in this venue with us.
An intimate setting.
A very intimate setting. And I don't know what the proper combination of attacks was, where to strike from at the perfect moment, but we go around and we continue to busk and hand out CDs and literally just get ourselves in front of anyone who is willing to, you know, pay us any attention. And so, like whatever it was, like our fifth show or whatever, there was 30 people, and we hung out with them all night. We got to know all of them. Facebook friends, the whole nine yards. And then the next time there was 80 people, and the next time there was 330 people, and we sold out Shuba's.
Hey!
And it was really cool.
That's awesome.
And so, like, you know, I wish I could speak for what you were talking about with, like, you come to a city and you don't know how it's gonna go, but all the people, there's a bunch of people there and they all know your songs. We haven't really had that. Everything we've done has been, like, we go into a city and, like, over and over and over again and work really hard.
Well, but that's, like, you know, that's grit, right? You know, that's just like boots on the ground, like doing the work. And so
it's been a really fun adventure. And honestly, I would rather be that way than, you know, come
to
a city.
Well, then it's real, right? It's genuine. And then you have the real connection with your fans. And then it's like, oh, I know this person. And then they then are genuinely interested in telling other people about your music, right? They become ambassadors in a way.
Yeah. And we've always had this approach of, like, make friends before fans.
Yeah.
Because friends generate fans and fans. And I don't mean to get into industry talk or whatever, but, like, it's a big thing to, like, make, whenever you go into a city, get people's phone numbers.
Right.
Become Facebook friends. Like, start talking to people and invest yourself in them so that they invest themselves in you. And so those, and then they bring out friends of theirs because, like, my buddies are coming to play a show, I'd love for you to join me or whatever.
Yeah.
And then those people ultimately become fans. And so it's kind of like you have to, I think as a, like I said, as an independent band, we've had to figure out how to do it on our own. And that's been a very, very great way to do it.
I mean, it's the most genuine way to do it, right? Human connection. Like, that's why we're all here.
Absolutely. And I think in the digital age, like the commodity of human to human interaction is getting more and more valuable. So it's becoming more and more, while things online are becoming easier and you're getting better exposure at higher frequency, to be able to generate human-to-human contact is becoming more and more valuable.
It's all breadth, no depth. And I think you guys are creating depth, which is great.
Thank you.
Yes. Jared, from Jared in the Mill.
It's me.
Here, live Hi. From Bonnaroo. And they're going to be playing on the Who stage at 2:15 on Sunday.
That's right.
I hope you guys have a great show. We're going to play.
I hope we do too.
I'm sure you will. We're going to play a song of yours. It's going to.
Don't do that.
Are you sure? Because I want to.
Spare them. Spare the people.
No. You guys, listen to this song and then come out if you're at Bonnaroo to see Jared in the Mill. They're playing again on the Who stage on Sunday at 2:15. This is Break in the Ether on Lightning 100.
Hope you like it.